28:18, Jesus came and said to them,
"All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go make disciples of every creation." Right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So we said, when Jesus said, go make disciples, it shows us that when he says go make disciples, in the background we have a local assembly, right? And that means that when he says make disciples, means make everyone a student, right? So when he says make everyone a student, it shows that for you to be a student, it means what is paramount is knowledge. Hallelujah. So therefore, we can say Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. We've already said that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of Him. You cannot worship God outside your knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the phrase of Jesus, heaven and earth, right? What? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the question is, when it says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, what does it mean? Because we are discussing what the believer's authority. Right? The believer's authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. I would say that word heaven and earth is a Moses language. Right? It's a Moses language. So Moses uses the word heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven and the earth. Sume. So, in the last section, we said Moses will use the word heaven as a word as an illustration. Did we say that?
Yes, sir.
We said Moses uses the word heaven as an illustration. He will use it as what is within the earth, right? Moses uses the word heaven as what is within the earth, not something abstract, not where dead people go to. No, he uses it as what is within the earth. So, Moses' heaven will be within the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Sorry for the transmission in break. I'm breaking transmission.
Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Okay. So, Moses will not use heaven for where his abstract is. No. Moses' uses of heaven will be what? Within the earth. Was that what I said? Okay. So he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. Say the earth was without form and void. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Is that where Genesis is? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. That was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. Let there be light. So, within verses 1 to 3, what is Moses communicating? And he says, and God said, And it's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the next question will now be, what is Moses communicating? Remember we said in John, our Basics, really the background text we have around will be what? Matthew 5:39. You search the scripture for them, you think you have eternal life, for these are they which testify of me, right? 45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. Do you understand? So that will be at the base. Why is it at the base? Because we now know that Moses is writing concerning Christ, right? So Genesis 1:1, what is Moses communicating? Is the next question. What is Moses communicating? Verse 2 will help us. Look at what verse 2 says. He said, and the earth was without form and void. Tohu bohu. The earth was without form and void. It means the earth was empty. Form and void. Then say, darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So, you know, it gives you a description. Hallelujah. He said, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, take note of verse 1. What did God make? Heaven and earth. Right? Now, verse 2 then said, the earth was without form and void. So, verse 1 shows you there is the heaven and the earth that God created. Well, how do you follow? Then verse 2 now shows you earth was without form and void. There's no mention of heaven. So verse 2 would be the earth without the heaven. Are you following me? And he calls it form, void. Hallelujah. Or without form and void. Tohu bohu. Meaning, it was empty. Hallelujah. It was empty and void. So it shows you that there's the earth without the heaven. The earth without the heaven. So when Moses said darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and he said the earth was without form and void, what was Moses communicating? What he called darkness in the earth. Remember, the earth was without the heaven. Right? Verse 2 is the earth without the heaven. And he called that there is darkness, is form and void. So what are we going? What is Moses communicating? The epistles will help us out. Remember, we said the epistles are an explanation of the Old Testament books. Right? So when the apostles were writing the epistles, what they were writing for was from the Old Testament books, from the scriptures. Do you understand? What they were explaining was from the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. So, what you have in the epistles are actually Old Testament books explained. Are you following me?
Yes,
well, how many books do we have in the Old Testament? 39 books. How many books do we have in the New Testament? 27. Hallelujah. So, what does that tell you? The lesser explains the greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All those people will explain it to themselves. In fact, that 27 will remove Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. 5 out. How many do you have? 22. So 22 book explained 39 plus 5. 44.
Glory to God.
So we need to look at the epistles for explanations. That is how you are a good student of the Bible. Are you hearing me? So let's rush down to 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1. Is it therefore? Since we have this ministry, we do not receive, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully,
but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, I want you to look at it. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Who are perishing? See, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Look at that. See, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, which is the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look at what he says in verse 3. If our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this world has blinded. When you use the word the God of this world has blinded, it brings your mind to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Darkness. Are you hearing that? It takes your mind to darkness. Whom the God of this world has blinded. Who do not believe? He said, least the lights. When he calls the lights of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves your born suffer for Christ's sake. Verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Genesis 1:3. Let there be light. Did you see that? Who commanded light to shine out of darkness? Has shine in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is Paul explaining Genesis 1, 4 verses 2 to the 3. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at that verse 4. It says, the gods of this age has blinded their heart, the heart of them who do not believe. Hallelujah. So Paul makes us see that the darkness in the earth is actually in the heart of the man who does not believe. He said the God of this world has blinded his eyes. Hallelujah. This shows that Moses ate. When Moses uses the word heaven and earth, and he said the earth without the heaven, well, that means Moses' earth will be talking about men. We'll be referring to men and the activities of men. You see that? So Moses' earth will be men and its activities. Hallelujah. So he now said, look at what Moses. So Moses writes for you, the man without the Holy Ghost. Are you following that? A man who does not believe. Remember, listen to me. Moses has told them about the oracles of God. This is what God will do. Moses spoke to them, brother. In Exodus chapter 6, right? He said, I will call you. He said, I will call you. As I will call you out, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and I will call you my people. And the Bible says they did not believe. So now they've left Egypt after all the miracle signs and wonders, and they're on their way to the wilderness. So now Moses is now coming again. Moses is now telling them about this is what God will do. But because now, remember, they have constantly rejected the gospel. Right? They kept rejecting the gospel. Now what is Moses now doing? Moses is now explaining the gospel to them. He's now trying to show them this is how the man whose heart is that is disobedient to the gospel. Now says the earth was without form and void. For it says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Follow that. When you say in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, is that the New Testament? Is that the New Covenant? That's the New Covenant. We'll get there. Hallelujah. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the New Covenant. Are you following me? Are you following me? They are told that God will make the heaven and the earth. They are told that, hey, for the earth is without form and void. He now tells them how the earth is without the heaven. Remember, the earth obeyed a parable. A parabole. right, cast alongside with the message they are teaching them. Are you following me? So that said, the earth is without form and void, meaning the man without the heaven. Are you following me? Will be where? Will be without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. He's telling them the heart of the man who does not believe is full of darkness. So Moses writes that for them to see that the God of this age has blinded their hearts. Are you following that? Are you following that? So Paul is explaining it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Paul is explaining it. Now Moses now shows them, okay, he now tells them what the Spirit of God is doing in the face of that. In the face of the darkness upon the surface of the deep, he said the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. And how did Paul explain that to thee? Look at that verses 4. And I'll say, lest the light of the gospel, which is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see that? Who is the image of God? He brings it. You know, look at what Moses did. I mean, look at what Paul did. Paul calls Christ the image of God. What did he do? He quickly gets to chapter 1, verse 26. He said that image in verse 26, he said, is Christ. That image in Genesis 1:26 is Christ. Are you following me? He says, should shine on them. Did you see that? I want you to follow me. Should do what? Should shine on them. He's explaining the Spirit hovering upon the surface of the deep. More far calls it, it is the gospel. Are you hearing this? Are you following me? So that's what Paul calls it. Paul calls the Spirit brooding over the surface of the deep to be what? The conversation of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Did you see that? That is the work of the Holy Ghost conversing man's heart. Did you see that? The Holy Ghost. That means God does not give up on a sinner. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God doesn't do that. The Spirit of God is always, that's what he shows you, open over the surface of the deep. That means that is the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. That is the work of the Spirit. Remember we say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4, we call it apodexis. Right? Right? To my preaching and my teaching was not with the exciting words of man's knowledge and of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The demonstration. That demonstration in the apodexis, it means the Spirit of God putting forth light on a dark surface. Are you following that? So it tells you the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to put forth light on what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what Moses writes. He said the Spirit of God will be found in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's a conversion for their repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Is it getting clearer? Is it getting clearer? Then I'll say, so Moses' earth will be man and his activities. His heaven, Moses' heaven will be where God dwells. Right? Listen. Moses would write to them, want to tell them where God dwells, he would call heaven. So Moses' heaven will be where God dwells, but he will not use it as where is within the earth. He said that where God will dwell will still be within the earth. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So when Moses says heaven and earth, he calls heaven and earth God's creation. Say, in the beginning, what God creates is heaven and earth. Are you following that? What God created, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's what God created. Hallelujah. Moses writes it as the first thing you see in the Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. It makes you see what is God's creation. God's creation is heaven and earth. Hallelujah.
Have not to true, right?
True.
Jesus.
That's the truth. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, when he says heaven and earth is God's creation, he shows that what God does is heaven and earth in one place. You see that? What God does is heaven and earth in one place, not heaven somewhere outside the earth. No, heaven and earth in one place. That's what we've read before, right? Heaven and earth in one place. God and man. Remember, the earth will be for man, right? The heaven will be for God. So Moses will write, God created the heaven and earth, meaning God and man in one place. So he writes them, and as God created the heaven and the earth, and he goes further to answer and explain what heaven is. Heaven is within the earth. Do you understand? Within the earth. So I'm telling that God and man is what God needs. God created God himself and man to be in the same place. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
This is not science. Don't try to bring science into it. This is not science. This is not. There are 9 planets aside yet. Planet Pluto, planet Jupiter, planet. No. Hallelujah. What the Bible teaches us is heaven and earth is in the same place.
Glory to God.
What the Bible teaches us is heaven and earth. 2 worlds in 1 world. And we're in the best of 2 worlds. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Say I'm in the best of 2 worlds. Amen. Glory to God. So, very important. God and man is what God created in one place. What does this mean? This means Moses has been telling them about the indwelling from day one. God and man. God and man will be in one place. This is God's creation. God's creation is the spirit of God and man. Heaven and earth in one place. That is God's creation. Amen. Amen. So what does Moses do? Moses brings in an oral tradition that deals with the history of mankind, the science of that day, the history of mankind. I hear me? And he writes salvation story in history. That's what Moses has done. Hallelujah. He writes salvation story. Meaning, in man's history, in the evolving world of man, you will find the everlasting person of God in the evolving world of man. Unchanging world of God in the evolving world of man. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You find God. Amen. So, we said in verse 2, the earth without form and void will be what? Man without the spirit, right? The earth without the heaven. So, Moses' communication was to them all along is concerning the indwelling. All along, what Moses has been telling them is the indwelling. God will leave a man. You know, Moses was not the first to tell them about God. No, because they've been Abraham, they've been Abel. Do you understand me? Yeah? They know about the story. Now, Moses is telling them, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to live in you. We're like, you know, that is hard not to true. God in me. Yup. I don't believe. Did you see that? Can you see that? He's only believing. Watch that. That is unbelief. Unbelief. You see, the way I'm explaining, you cannot say now, oh, no wonder they did not believe. God of Abraham, I didn't believe in you. But that's the truth. That's what Moses writes to them. That God will live in you. And he didn't believe. Just like today, you tell somebody, God lives in you. They say, this big God inside your small heart.
Great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's the most amazing. When I sing this song, I get so happy. Down in my heart, there is the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there is the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is daily shed abroad. And in His name I will do what He called me to do.
Hallelujah. I heard that song one. In a higher life conference by a dear man of God, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome.
Down in my heart. I just love the song. Hallelujah. Because the big God lives in the small heart. Great.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So, Moses, in writing to them, will now give them a tabernacle. The only things that it's going to be hard for them to chew. Now give them a tabernacle. Why is Moses doing this? Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. You know, Moses keeps simplifying it. I tell you, God will leave you, you don't believe. I leave heaven and earth, and explain, you don't still understand. Okay, I give you a temple. Is that he now makes of them a tabernacle? Let me see if you will even get it.
You understand?
He simplified it for them. If heaven and earth is too heavy, we are take temple. Are you? He now gives them a temple. They will now scatter their head. They are not going to now see the temple and not see the temple for what the temple is. Now they enter the temple to look for God. Unbelief can be crazy. Are you following me? Moses gave them a temple. He told them God will give you. You don't believe. Just like some people, you tell them the seed has to do with the word.
They didn't say word, seed.
Okay, you know what? Let me give you an example. Bring an apple. You bring an apple. You put it off. Bring about the one seed. This is the seed there. Or you put it to the ground. That's the word of God to the ground. Understand? Okay, you know what? Let me increase it for you. Bring money. I want to know. I want to double. You see? Did you see? I am not in any way giving credence to people who call money seed, but I'm just trying to let you know how people think. So, Moses writes, God will live in you. He says, God of Abraham, I didn't give us live in me. Okay, know what? You see? Wait, you know, God lives in heaven. Say yes. Okay, let you know something. Heaven. Look up. What can you see? Sky. Heaven. Where are you? Earth. He says, so shall it be. Heaven and earth. But like, how is this thing?
Sure, we're alright. Sure, we're alright.
Heaven and earth. Is this guy okay? I say, okay. You know what? You guys don't get it. Okay, you know what? Build a tabernacle. Okay, start building something. Build. Okay, you know what? As you are done building, everybody sit here. Everybody now sit there. Now put your cups in. Now say, you people are here, right?
Yeah.
Get me something. They brought something like an ark. Say, put it inside here. And they say, this is where God is. Guys, look at what he said. This is where God is. This is where you are. God, you. In the same building. get it. That's what will happen. Know what they did?
Then they tying themselves to entering the one to see God.
Do you understand? That was their problem. That was their problem.
Because the natural man finds comfort when he sees something physical to represent God with. But that is not how God works.
He walks. God, a natural man walks by what he sees, what he feels. What he knows that. That's the natural man. Are you hearing me? So Moses now gives them a tabernacle, and now divides the tabernacle into two: the holies of holies and the outer court. He said, "This is where you will stay. This is where God is." And he started worshiping. But while he built, that tabernacle for them, look at what God said in Exodus chapter 25, verse 9. Quickly, Exodus 25, 9. Look at what God said immediately. Okay, 25, verse 8, not 9. 25, 8. Are you there? Exodus 25, verse 8. Look at what it says. And let them make me a sanctuary. Look at what Moses is telling them. Look at what God spoke to Moses. And let them make me a sanctuary. Now, if you are here and you are thinking the sanctuary will be that busy, no. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. That word amongst in the Hebrew means in. I may dwell in them. So the sanctuary they should make him is where their hearts. Are you following me? So in as much as if you read through, this was where Moses was building the temple for them, the tabernacle for them. Do you understand me? And God now spoke and said, hey, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in them. Do you see that? So Moses is telling them, what you are doing, this is not the real thing. The real thing is your heart. That's how Hebrews now brings it again. And tells them the same thing. Hallelujah. That's how Hebrews tells them the same thing. Say, why the first tabernacle yet standing? He said, the Holy Ghost said, this is not the way to the holiness of God. Meaning there was the witness of the Spirit that what they had is not the real tabernacle. But they were all hardened. Do you understand? Hardened. They didn't want to listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine they sent spies. I guess it was 10 spies, right? And they went to spy the land. And they came back. And they went to spy the land. Oh, okay. So I have not taught you guys that, right? No, I've not. Okay, so I shouldn't even go there. I shouldn't. Let me teach you first before I say what I want to say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When they went to spy the land, what do you think they went to do? They went to survey so that they can fight. It's not true. What did the epistle explain Rabbi for? No, if you read Hebrews, she was a woman of faith. So what did she do? So that means what did the spies go to do? To spy or to preach?
Preach. <God, I didn't know.
laughs> Let's continue, please. Amen. Amen. And they came with different reports.
How was evangelism?
Hey, man of God. Hey, I don't think Ogoloko can be saved. Hey, man of God, don't call up. When you be preaching your way.
Glory to God. I didn't say anything. I've not said anything. I've not said anything, I've not said nothing. I just said anything about spice once I teach it. Hallelujah. I just gave you a glimpse. So if you think you now know,
go and preach nonsense. Come back.
Amen. Glory to God. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Remember, I've told us, that was last year's CRC. I told us that every other prophet will prophesy from whom? Will prophesy from whom?
He will prophesy from Moses. Moses is the archaic of scripture. He is the beginning of writing of in scriptures. Moses is Genesis. Every other. So when David was to prophesy, what was David's scripture? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Do you understand? That was what they have as scripture. I said I will teach you that, right? About concerning their kings, right? So what they have as scriptures will be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Are you following me? What will Samuel have as scripture? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What will Ezekiel have as scripture? They have scriptures. So we want Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So pastors, will have a meeting before year.
There's some things I want to teach us concerning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, when Moses was writing the Torah, what did they have as scriptures? Genesis. When he was writing Exodus, what did they have as scriptures? Genesis. So they had something as scriptures all along. Glory to God.
Your faith is strong. Hallelujah. Amen. I need to understand that. Hallelujah. So let's move ahead. Ezekiel 36. Okay. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. It says, I will give you a new heart. A new spirit I will put within you. So when Ezekiel is prophesying, what do you think Ezekiel will have in his hand as he's prophesying? He will have Genesis. Are you following me? You have Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You will have Exodus 25:8. So, do you understand me? That's what you will have as scripture. Are you following me? That's what they prophesy for. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Don't worry, we are going little by little to begin to understand some truth. Hallelujah.
Amen. No rush. You see, there is no rush. We started since last year we started teaching on this? No. Last year 2018. We started talking about this in 2018.
And what?
It's small, we'll get there. We are not rushing at all. Amen.
Amen. We're not rushing at all. Even if we get there in the next 10 years, don't worry. We'll reach there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For at least the ones I've taught you, you know them. That's the most important thing.
But the shepherd will say, it's not the width of knowledge, it's the what? The depth of knowledge. So don't tell you no several things. The one you know. Hallelujah. When they say, come and teach us God the man. When you are done teaching, they will say, which Bible school did you go to? They don't know that you've been doing. Hallelujah.
That is the encapsulation of what? The new creation reality. Hallelujah. God the man.
Amen.
Amen. So where were we? 26. Ezekiel is prophesying from where? Moses. And it says what? I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I will give the heart of flesh. 27. I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Where is he prophesying from? The five books of Moses. Hallelujah. Are you following that? That's what we prophesying from. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So
Moses will give them that tabernacle to show that God will be in them.
And he gives them the tabernacle and divided the tabernacle into two layers, the outer court and the holiest of all. Are you following that? Are you following that?
Glory to God. Look at what the writer, look at what John now says in John 1.
John 1 14. He said, as the word became flesh. And did what? And did what? Is it the word? Okay, and did what? That is New King James, Old King James. And did what? Hey, use what it did. There's some things that, you know, New King James puts dwells. It's the same thing though. But that word, tabernacle, what if you translate it back to the Hebrew, it is the same word for Moses' tabernacle. So look at what, now the right, look at what John now writes. John now says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and God is the Word. It says, same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him is nothing made that is made. Then him is life, and life is light of men, and light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. He then get to verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh. I like that part. The Word became flesh and tabernacle. Now, he brings in that Moses' tabernacle, and he said, the Word tabernacle among us. Why did John write it that way? John writes it so that you would see that Moses' tabernacle has happened. Moses' tabernacle has happened. Moses' tabernacle, which is a what? An illustration of what? Moses' heaven and earth has happened. God is now with man. In man. Do you see that? Moses' tabernacle has happened. Jesus is God in man. Heaven and earth has happened. Heaven and earth has happened. God is none in man. Moses' tabernacle has come to pass in Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God in man and died for men. Hallelujah. So all who believe in his resurrection will have God indwelling them. Did you now see that? All who believe in that resurrection will now have God dwelling in them. So meaning, God's tabernacle in Christ has now multiplied to all who believe. Are you following that? Glory to God. When you read John chapter 14 to chapter 16, what Jesus is teaching them is that at the resurrection, heaven and earth will be united forever. That's what Jesus is teaching them. God will dwell in man forever. Hallelujah. He says, and in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Heaven and earth united. Hallelujah. God and man now together. I don't want to use God and man united. God, why are you united?
Because he wants to bring in man united. They are bringing in red devils. And God has no association with devils. You see? Amen. So now God is now with man forever. Hallelujah. God is now united with man. Not God and man united. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
I heard something one time. Don't worry, Man United. If you are not in Chelsea, I wonder where you are. Glory to God.
Because when you say heaven and earth, heaven and earth, it's Chelsea now. Heaven and earth.
The sky is blue. And the sky is a word. The figure of speech for heaven.
Amen. Glory to God. So that's why people that support things like mind you. Asna. He that live by the sword shall die.
They are God.
Liverpool never walk again.
Salvation.
Hallelujah. But he that is in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Neither can you even be part of a club where they are sacking both managers, presidents. I don't know. I thought this president would sack coach. Coach will sack managers. Coach will sack the players. For example, even the president is sacked. Let's go ahead. Amen.
Now let's look at Matthew's account. How Matthew uses the word heaven, and we'll round up from there today. Hallelujah. Matthew. Remember, Jesus said, remember we've read heaven and earth from Moses, right? And we saw that Moses' heaven and earth is God in man, right? Moses' heaven will be somewhere it's not outside the earth, and it's using it to refer to God, right? We've seen all that, right? Now let's now see, that's how you read, that's how you study scriptures. Now let's now see, Jesus used heaven and earth in Matthew. Matthew writes it so that you would see. Now let's now see, how does Matthew and the other writers of the New Testament explain heaven and earth? Are you seeing that? So we'll see, they will draw out the conclusion. Heaven, Matthew, how Matthew uses the word heaven. In the Greek, the word heaven is the Greek word ouranos. O-U-R-A-N-O-S, ouranos. In Matthew 5:48, I need to be fast now. Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5:48, if you're there, I'm going to read 5:5. It says, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew, Jesus is speaking of what will happen in the resurrection. In the resurrection, the Father, their Father will now be God. Hallelujah. Say, now be a prophet, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah.
He uses the word Father in heaven. In chapter 6, verse 1, I need to pay attention to this. Matthew 6, 1. It says, take heed that you do not... that is not a charitable deed before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Are you following that? Verses 9. Matthew 6, 9. He said, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven. Verse 14. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. This is the word heavenly Father, Uranus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. In Luke 2, look at Luke 2, verse 3. Let me give you other references in Matthew for heaven. You have it in Matthew 6, 26. Heaven. Matthew 6:26. Heavenly Father. Matthew 15:13. Matthew 15:13. Matthew 16:10. Matthew 16:10. Sorry, Matthew 6:10. Sorry, not 16. Matthew 6:10. Matthew 23:9. Matthew 23:9. Matthew 26:32. Then Luke. Jump down to Luke 2:13. Luke 2:13. Look at verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, heavenly hosts. Something very important for us to see. Heavenly hosts. In Acts 26:19. Acts 26:19. Think about that one, heavenly hosts. Acts 26:19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
The way it is used, from all the scripture has given to you, heaven is used here for where is immaterial, an immaterial world. Heavenly Father, something that is not material.
It's used for a distant location that is different from the physical. Do you understand me? A distant location within the earth that is what? Immaterial. What is immaterial? Used for a, okay,
look at what I have in my notes. It's used to distinguish something. Well, yeah, Heavenly Father. He is right, Heavenly Father to you because you have an earthly father. Do you understand me? It's used to distinguish between two things. Hallelujah. Between something heavenly. And it's used to describe a distant location. What is immaterial? You understand me? A distant location. What do you mean distant location? I'm not talking about something outside the earth, but what is immaterial? Are you following me? In Matthew 6:9, it says, our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. So it's used for where God dwells. It's used for where God does what? Dwells. In verse 10, in Matthew 6, it says, our Father who is in heaven, say, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He brings in heaven and earth again. Matthew, look at that Matthew 6, 10. He brings in heaven and earth again. Say, thy will be done on thy will be done in heaven. I mean, sorry for that. He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He brings in heaven and earth again. What does it mean by thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It's talking about God in man. That is the will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is God in man. Heaven is on earth. Are you hearing me? Are you following that? Hallelujah. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He now tells you, give us this day our daily bread. What he's telling you is that when that will is done, which is God in man, we will then have the daily bread, which is what? Eternal life. And what does he call eternal life? Forgive our debts. Do you see that? He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then when that will is done, we will have the daily bread. That's it. And forgive our debt. That is, forgive our debt. So meaning the daily bread, which is eternal life, it is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So the will in heaven, or the will of God on earth, will be what? The forgiveness of sins. Are you following that? Are you following that? Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins. Another word uses that is used for heaven in the book of Matthew is the word euporaneos. The first one is Uranus, another one is euporaneos. A common word of Epi and Uranus. The same thing, but this is Euporagos. It's used for God Father. That word Euporagos. Euporanous. Just the same word Uranus puts EP in front as the prefix.
Now it now says that word is used for God's fatherhood. That is different from the earthly fatherhood. God's fatherhood. Different from the earthly fatherhood. You find it in Matthew 26:64. Matthew 26:64. It says, just said to them, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I said to you, hereafter, you see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the cloud of heaven.
coming in the cloud of heaven. In chapter 23, verse 9, you see there too. 23, verse 9. It is, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. When he says, do not call anyone on earth your father, please don't go to one place and pick a scripture and model. He's referring to the Pharisees. He said, do not call them your father. Read in context. He's referring to the Pharisees. They said, okay! Somebody wants to say, sir, I don't have a father in the Lord. I will say, call no one on earth your father. If you don't have gone on rampage.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That word Epiranos is used in contrast to the earth. Find out in John 3, verse 12 into 13. John 3 is used in contrast to the earth. John 3 from verse 12 into 13. 12 into 13 says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is an Euporanos, John 3, 12 into 13. Heavenly things. Do you see that? In contrast to the earth. Paul will use it in 1 Corinthians 15, 48 to 49. Heavenly. Heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15. He finds it in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Paul. Use it in Ephesians 1, 3. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is that heavenly places. In verse 20, use it again. Which he walked to cover the risen from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly. Did you see that? 20. Did you see that? In chapter 2, verse 6, he uses it again. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly, in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? If he uses it again in Ephesians 3:10, Ephesians 6:12. There are some things we're going to go back to. Ephesians 6:12. Philippians 2:10. 2 Timothy 4:18. Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews 6:4. Hebrews 8:10. Heavenly. Heavenly. In Acts 2:34. Look at what Peter says. Acts 2:34. He says, for David did not ascend into the heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make the enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So it's used for the resurrection of Christ. Peter explained the resurrection of Christ. Used it. Hallelujah. Meaning, it's used for the resurrection of Christ, heaven. So the resurrection is called heaven, where the power of God is displayed. Hallelujah. Where the power of God is displayed. Look at Acts 3:21. Where the power of God is displayed. Where the power of God is displayed in the resurrection? In the believer. We'll get to see that in chapter 3. Just look at chapter 2 and jump into chapter 3, verse 21. I'll start from verse 22. From verse 20. And that he made Jesus, that he may send Jesus Christ, who is preached to you before, whom heaven was received until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy apostles since the world began. You see that? Whom heaven must receive. When you say heaven must receive, what does it mean? Hallelujah. When you say heaven must receive, he's using it for the man in Christ. He calls the man in Christ in the new birth. He calls that man heaven. What is Jesus received? In our hearts. Right? When a man believes. Hallelujah. So in Acts 3:21, it's used for what we receive in the new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 3:12. We are closing. John 3:12. John 3 verse 12.
He said, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe I've told you heavenly things? What are you telling him here? He's telling him about the truth of the resurrection. Hallelujah. He's talking to Nicodemus about eternal life. And he calls eternal life heavenly. Did you see that? He calls eternal life what? Heavenly. He said, if I've told you heavenly things, I do not believe. If I've told you earthly things, I do not believe. How would you believe I tell you heavenly things? What is he telling him? Eternal life. Hallelujah. So he calls eternal life heavenly. Heavenly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you say this, if we look at this, if it's calling eternal life heavenly, calling eternal life heavenly, it helps you understand Ephesians 1:3. See, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. What do you think he's talking about? Eternal life. So Ephesians 1:3 becomes clear that what he has blessed us with is eternal life. What do you have in eternal life? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. Very important. In Acts 7:56, the same thing. So, in Ephesians 2:6, look at what it says. Look at Ephesians 2:6 very well. Ephesians 2:6, we just read it now. Ephesians 2:6. And Ephesians 2. Look at what he said in verse 6. And has raised us up together. And made us sit together in the heavens. And has made us sit together where? In the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Made us sit in the heavens in Christ Jesus. When did this happen? In the new realm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, listen. He has blessed us. I want you to read Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. I will call it eternal life. Right? The forgiveness of sins. Now say, he has made us sit together with him in the heavens. Would that be the influence? Would that be what brings about eternal life? Is that the indwelling? So therefore, Paul calls the indwelling heaven. He calls the indwelling heaven. Where will Paul be explaining all these things from? And Matthew and Peter, they will be explaining it from Genesis to Malachi. Did you see that? Did you see that? So when Moses sits down and said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make the enemy thy footstool. Remember, we started off that teaching last week, right? We continue running from there to Hallelujah. Sit at my right hand till I make the enemy thy footstool. When he sat and said that, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemy thy footstool. He was not writing about himself. No. Peter says he was writing concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 When he now goes to Ephesians 6:12, and now says, Ephesians 6:12 brings in something that you need to be careful of so that you don't miss it. Ephesians 6:12. Can you see that we've been able to look at the fact that heaven also has to do with what has happened to a man in Christ? Right? It has to do with what happens to a man in Christ, the indwelling, the heart of man who believes, right? And I will now say that how we ended the last section that I quoted Exodus, you see that I spoke to you from heaven. Would that be from his heart? Or not? Can you not say it would be from his heart? I want you to understand those things. So that you don't get clouded by CBN, Cartoon, Christian, Bible, Network, Story.
Moses,
I now see one cloud and a path. So, yes, Lord, part the sea.
So when you get to see that, you say, part the sea. So, oh, a cloud just opened. You know, some of us just, we don't mean to do it, but when we get to read scripture, we just see that, and our mind just go to, and the cloud just opened. Still living. Super book.
No. Ephesians 6 12. Something that we must never lose sight of. Very important. See, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavens. It is this heavens here. Why? For wickedness, for darkness? How? Never get confused when you see things like that. Go back to his opening narrative to see how he uses the word heaven. So if you rush through to chapter 2, he has shown you that he's going to use heaven for two things. Look at chapter 1, he has used heaven for what is spiritual, what you have received in the new birth. This is we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "And you he made alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sin, and you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience." Do you understand? He has shown you this. So, because he has shown you this, that He tells you that there is a spirit that also walks in the children of his disobedience. Do you understand? And he calls it darkness. Follow me. So now he now gets to chapter 6. And he's now discussing that spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. When he does, what will that spirit be? In them. And that's when they are saved, Bible says they are delivered from that darkness. Are you following me? So now, listen to this. So that gets now said, we're not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against. I told this brother this mustn't go off, and he went off. Hallelujah. You're keeping to your word, you're not worried.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So, let's just continue. Amen. So, so now, when he gets there, he has said, according to the course, why is not really distracted?
We're not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, right?
See, temple distracted. I forgive you.
Amen.
Amen. It is against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So if you get to this point and you pause here and you say, ha,
heavenly places indeed. Somebody now, you know what? Look, let me tell what somebody said. He said, where your blessing is where your problem is. Because your blessing is in heavenly places. Your problem is in heavenly places. It's not true. Stop saying nonsense. He calls it. And when Paul writes like this and mentions spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, what was he writing concerning? He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's, at this point, Paul is already talking about the preaching of the gospel. But when he comes down, he now started talking about what? The shield of faith, and you know, he started talking about the gospel shield and things like that. So he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Are you following me? Talking about the preaching of the gospel. And he says, we wrestle not. So he's telling you the intent. What is the preaching of the gospel for? Are you following me? And I say, that the preaching is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So why does he pick flesh and blood for, or wrestle for? He picks the wrestle from where the fight. All those, why would Moses rise and the children of Israel went to fight the Amalekites? Went to fight this nation?
They rise that to see that there will be a fight in the new bed. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? I'll yet talk about it tomorrow. And there will be a fight in the new bed. So that was why all those wars were documented. Not documented for you to know history, no. It's documented because the writer of the epistles are going to write from there. They were documented as it was. Parable, a figure that you would see that they fought wars, but they fought a wrong war, but in the new birth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? There will be a war, there will be a fight, but this fight is not going to be like that fight. No, that's the wrong kind of fight. This fight will be for souls. Are you following me? Paul will say, I have fought a good fight of faith. Don't be a fight. Are you following me? It's a fight for the lives of them who are in darkness. Are you following that? And it is a fight that is won with the preaching of the gospel. Are you following me? Amen. So when he now says spiritual host of wickedness, he's describing what he has shown you in chapter 2. And now say in the heavenly places, he talks about your heart. Are you following? So where are we wrestling? Your heart. That is the main goal. Hallelujah. And the word of God will dwell in them richly. And they will be saved. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. It's not that they are hosts of wickedness flying across your roof. No. No. In the heavenly places will be in their hearts. Hallelujah. That's why we preach the way we do. That's why we preach. That's why we are moved to preach. Yes, that's how we preach, the way we do. That your saved will come to the light of the gospel. Yeah. That will come together like this. Don't we see ourselves? Tear ourselves up! And we'll get into the streets. And many more souls will be won for Christ. That's why we preach the way we do. It's not to have a good time. No. It's to see the master's work done. It's to see the father's work done in the land. It's to see the heart of men saved. Hallelujah. The whole of darkness in the heart of men destroyed. Hallelujah. So rest for us to see. Hallelujah. Rest for us to see. That is their heart. The focus point will be their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we go back to Matthew 28, and he says, and Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The heaven and on earth then, will it be the new creation? Will it be the new creation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, we can say, when he says all authority, can we say, Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in the new creation. Would that be right for us to say? All authority has been given to me in the believers. Did you see that? So that means Jesus' authority is in the man in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say the heaven of God is in the believer. The heaven of God is in the believer. The heaven of God is in the believer. So Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in believers. Glory to God. Go therefore. We'll begin to explore more on this. We'll begin to look more on this tomorrow morning into the afternoon. Hallelujah. We'll begin to look more in line with this topic. Hallelujah. as we round up CRC tomorrow, first and second session. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven. So the heaven of God is the believers. It's the believers. Hallelujah. And look at what Jesus now said. You have to know this. Is it a believer? So Jesus shows us. Listen. Jesus shows us. I want to tell you something. I want to show you something that you must never miss. Since the heaven of God is the believer, Jesus now shows us in Luke 10:21. He says to them, do not rejoice that the Spirit has subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What does it mean? It means we rejoice for heavenly realities. Out of no further, expand that to you. It shows the believer has got no reason whatsoever to be sad. It doesn't matter what happens to you in the natural. You don't have a reason. You don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't have a reason to be sad. You don't. So, I don't know, I'm just sad. I don't want to rejoice because I'm sad. You don't have a reason. I'm telling you, you don't. In the course of the week, on Tuesday, I had an accident that should naturally have just made me say, let's cancel CRC. Last day that took my limb, that took one of my limbs, the limbs of my fingers. You see this? I was saying, let's not have CRC. But no. That cannot stop me. That cannot stop me. Sir, do you feel pain? Yes. But you know what? It doesn't mean I can't rejoice. No. In fact, all of what doctors told us, don't fling your hands to me. Just always hold your hands like egg. I laugh. No problem. But look where I left. It was like he was to rejoice. It's my lifestyle. It's my character. This is who I am. Hallelujah. So said, see, you must learn to choose who to believe. I believe the report of my master. He said, look at what he said. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Meaning, I should rejoice for heavenly reality. What is the heavenly reality? I am in heaven. It's a reality. I have nothing to rejoice over. I rejoice for the indwelling. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what happens around you in the natural. Things can happen around you in the natural. Are you hearing me? The fact that you are born again, talk to the Holy Ghost, you don't meet things, not put you in the natural. But when it happens, you just know how to switch things. You need to know how to just turn it. You know, I told us, I'm going to teach us how to initiate the supernatural. How to initiate Holy Ghost meetings, right? I told us that, right? I said that in December. Teach how to initiate Holy Ghost meetings. How to initiate Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. You know, things can be so bad around you, but you just know how to master the situations. You just know how to rejoice. Hallelujah. And it's not difficult. Just switch it. Switch from that current situation and switch to the right thing. The right thing that I'm is in me. Hallelujah. 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 And Jesus overcame them. So you rejoice for spiritual truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Rejoice.